The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Continuing on Multiply, the subject from our summer camp meeting, which I can't get away from. And we're dealing with multiplying prayer. We talked about last week, Jesus taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, prayed, and they multiplied. When God blesses something, it'll never run out. And there'll be baskets left over. Now in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared God, or feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. For he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this woman widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" Which we're living in a time where you could say that it is a faithless generation in many instances. People are not putting in requisition requests with God. They're not coming to God and filling out a request. That's one of the things that caused Charles Finney to come to know Jesus, because he was a lawyer, and at that time American law was based upon the Bible. What a novel thing. Imagine that your law book was the Word of God. So he went down to the church and he listened to Christians pray, and then he said, they can't be believing God, because according to the scripture, if you pray, you pray a certain way, because he took the Bible as a legal document. And that's actually what sparked a hunger in him to go out into the woods and kneel down in the middle of a forest and pray, and the fire fell on him. And what was birthed was a man by the name of Charles Grandison Finney that led the Second Great Awakening. All because he knew that people were not praying correctly just by listening to the way they prayed, and that they did not treat this as a legal document. That if he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you live in me and my words live in you, you can ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. So, prayer is doing business with God, which is what we do here. We teach people how to do business with God. Friday night is going to be big business night of 12 hours of intensive prayer, doing business with God. It has been said that prayer changes things. However, prayer changes people and people change things. Prayer doesn't automatically just change things. People get changed and they go and bring about a transformation. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is you talking to him and him talking to you. So it's not one-sided, even though there are people in the church world that believe God does not speak today. Well, sorry to bring correction to you, because he talks to me. So we said, oh, he's one of those crazy people that believes that the Lord talks to him. Well, he does. And I am not going to apologize for that. If God didn't speak to me, then why would I be here in America? I'd be back in Africa. I came here because of the call of God. Many of you came here because of the call of God. Can you say amen? Prayer expands you spiritually to enable you to receive more from God so that He can do more through you. So as you pray, your spirit man is expanding. God is building in you a greater capacity to believe Him for big things. So that means ordinary people can come out of an ordinary life with no power and come over into an extraordinary walk with God to where they see great and mighty things. Every failure is a prayer failure. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told them a parable of the fact they ought to pray and not turn coward. Don't faint, lose heart, give up. You talk to many people, I just give up. Why? You're giving up because you're not praying. Somebody said, well, I tried that. No, you never made the correct call. Your call was diverted, and you never made a connection with heaven, because something happens when you connect with heaven. Most people are shocked that God answers prayer. I'm shocked when prayers don't get answered. Are you with me? I'm not like shocked. Oh, that's why people see a miracle. Oh, there was a miracle. What do you mean there was a miracle? Of course there's going to be a miracle. What are you talking about? That's what He does. I'm not shocked like, oh, isn't that wonderful? We saw a miracle. That's what we're supposed to see. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. He marveled. He talked about their unbelief, said these people don't believe. I'm not going to marvel at a miracle. Oh, isn't that great? A blind eye saw, a deaf ear heard, a crippled walk. That's what He does. That's what He does. So in the prayer meeting on Friday night, the 14th, it gives us an opportunity to set aside 12 hours of intensive prayer. Somebody said, why do you do that? Do you think I need to do that for my health? We have to fly next Sunday afternoon to go to England to do a whole week of meetings in England. If anybody doesn't need to lose a light night of sleep, it's me. But there's something about pressing in prayer, setting aside that time in prayer. And I understand, I'm going to feed everybody breakfast at 6 o'clock, which last time I did, we had 600 people left at 6 o'clock. And I understand some people will come at 4, so they get the breakfast. You know what? I'll still feed you. Even if you come the last hour, you will still get the full day's wage. But this is a time set aside as a congregation to press in prayer. How many in the past have been to the all-night prayer meetings? How many have found that there was a supernatural breakthrough in your life that took place because of that? Somebody said, yeah, but it's Saturday, it's my day off. You could sleep Saturday. And besides that, you don't need as much sleep as what you think. People don't realize bed is a place you go to die. Are you with me? These people are going to get to heaven, and the Lord will show them what they could have seen on earth, but they slipped their life away. They were either doped out, goofed out, smoked out, snorted out, or slept out. There's people sitting in church right now, not here, but other places, sleeping. Brother Ronnie, I'm just tired. I'm just really tired. I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. Funny how when you were born, your mother said you were tired. Even a week later, as a baby, people came wanted to pick you up. Your mother said, don't touch the baby, it's tired. And you've been like that all your life. You're tired. How you doing? I'm tired. You're just really tired. I'm so tired. Well, don't worry. The long sleep will come one day. It's time to live now. Can you say amen? It's not time to die. This is a time for us to come together corporately and press in. And I promise you, you listen to me, everyone that will come in faith and press in through this night prayer, by 6 o'clock Saturday morning, you'll be in a different dimension. And you might say, but what if I feel tired? Just go to the back and just lie down and go to sleep. People won't know that you're sleeping. They will just think that you're under a very heavy anointing. And even if you snore, it'll be okay, because we'll just call it groaning in the spirit. I would rather you come here, pray 4 or 5 hours, sleep for 2 hours, and then carry on praying. I'd rather than just stay at home and fellowship at the First Church of St. Mattress with Apostle Pillow, Prophet Eiderdown, and Evangelist Electric Blanket. Come on. Let's press in. You're not going to die. You are not going to die from a night in prayer. You will not die. Your flesh might die, and your enemies will die. But you will not die. Hallelujah. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? What do we pray? We pray His word. We pray His will. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. The Bible is plain that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14 to 15. This is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence. That we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Isn't that powerful? So if God can multiply loaves and fish, what's He going to multiply in your life even in the next 7 days? By next Sunday morning when we have the service, you people are going to be multiplied. Not just because of the word that I'm speaking to you right now, but because of what you're pressing in already. Making your list. Making it twice. Amen. And then pressing in intensive prayer. Many people don't press in intensive prayer, and they end up in intensive care. And then is it amazing how suddenly they need prayer? So come on, press in intensive prayer, and you won't need intensive care. Come on. So as a result of this prayer meeting, expect everything that you have in your hands to be multiplied. Amen. Every single thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I asked you last Sunday to make a list of 12 things you personally believe in God for. One per hour. How many have already made a list? What about the rest of you? Make a list. Make a list. Personal, what do you believe in God for personally? Relationships, husband and wife, your marriage. And please let it not be, I pray my wife dies. That's not God. You say, why would you even say that? People have the craziest things for prayer. What do you need prayer for? Can you pray, God, kill my mother-in-law? I'm just so tired of her. No, I'm praying that God kill your mother-in-law. Pray for your family. Pray for your children, your friends, your business, your finance, your spiritual life, for souls, for more fruit. Amen. Say this after me. It's time for multiplication. And then, apart from the things we're praying for personally, we're going to be praying over 3 nations. We're going to be praying over the United Kingdom, because that's where we're going, for London ablaze, plus the start of the River Bible Institute in London, England, which already Pastor Dan and Lucy, we already flew them there. They're already laying out everything right now for the start of the River Bible Institute. And we already have students applying. It's going to be epic. I believe we've got for 200 students. Somebody said, why? Because there's a problem even with the visas of getting students in here into the country, we had a situation whereby there were, how many turned away? 28? 28 foreign students that couldn't come. That got right to the border and were turned away. Now, somebody said, well, you need to get the regulations from the government, but the moment we do that, we can actually get funding, but the moment we get the funding, then they tell us what to teach and preach, and we can't do that. So we'll bypass that and just raise up Bible schools in the foreign country. It's no problem. Either way, we're going to get the job done. Can you say amen? So this is going to be epic for the UK. Huge. We're believing God for mighty, mighty revival. And we're going to go for the weekend, just light a fire. I see London burning. I see London ablaze. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then we're going to pray for South Africa, that God supernaturally intervene. Already the money's plunged 16 to 1 right now. It's actually officially hit a recession. There's crisis in the nation. We stand on the brink of civil war. The borders were open, the open borders that they wanted to do in America and haven't got right, but they already did in Southern Africa. So we should only have like 55 million people. We have 100 million people that's flooded the nation. And so the tribes of the north are taking the jobs of the tribes of the south. And so the tribes of the south are killing each other. They're killing the north. That's called xenophobia. So you have black-on-black violence in the townships, hacking people to pieces with pangas, chopping bodies in half. I can't even show you the film footage that's sent to me. I just got film footage of a lady where they stabbed her to death in 27 seconds and cut her head off with the panga and held the head. I watched. Because people, when they hate God and they don't love humanity, they don't care about life. Life means absolutely nothing. So we have to pray and believe God. Are you with me? And then, of course, praying for the United States of America, for God to intervene in our country. We're sitting on some big crises right now because the powers that be can do several things. You know, that EMP attack, which is like seconds away, can knock out the whole electrical grid. This is a major problem in America. Are you with me? Which there will be no food in the stores in 9 days. People in the cities will resort to cannibalism and start eating each other within 9 days of that scenario. Don't look at me like I'm making this stuff up. I know what I'm talking about. You have one hurricane and there's no food in the stores. The world's food supply used to be 6 months. It's down to days. 3 days. So we're three days to 8 days away from total anarchy. Yeah. Period. And your whole world, as you know, is turned upside down. They could collapse the dollar or collapse Wall Street. Or, to try to stop what's happening, explode a nuclear device. We're coming up, 9/11. It's this week. They can, somebody said, they who mean the people that run the planet can explode a nuclear device, kill 4 million people, and Americans will hand over everything. Please save us from this boogeyman. Meanwhile, it's the corruption within all the alphabet agencies. Amen. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, then get the book that we wrote called The Killing of Uncle Sam. We're working on book two right now, which actually exposes the whole thing happening in the globe. Documented, ladies and gentlemen, no conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact. Right. You know how many people came to me even this last week, 92, 94 years old, that read the book? Thank you. Thank you. You connected all the dots for me. I knew all this stuff. I just couldn't put my finger on it. I tell everybody that over the years, but they didn't believe me. Thank you. And these people that were high up in different areas of government, military. That's why we did this book. We sure didn't do it to make money. I give away more than what I sell. We did it to get information out and put information in the hands of the people so they can do something about it. Somebody said, yeah, but it's overwhelming, Pastor Ronnie. What can we do? That's why you have to pray and ask God, what do you want me to do? And everybody does one thing. If everybody does one thing, then then a lot of things will be done. Amen. Are you with me? Do you know how many people there are in this place today that can do one thing? If two women wreaked havoc on American society, one took prayer out of schools, the other one started Planned Parenthood, what can two women full of the Holy Ghost do? Somebody says, yeah, but we could die. Then you would be a martyr. Like the guy at Yale. What a novel. Imagine a 21st century martyr in America. Are you afraid to die? If you are, I'll give an altar call right now so we can get you saved. So you won't be afraid to die. And then besides that, you go straight to heaven. So how bad can that be? Like you're going to walk around heaven going, oh, I shouldn't be here right now. What about my dog? Who's going to feed Fido? Who's going to feed Molly, my cat? Don't worry. Fido and Molly will end up on television and they'll raise money. Will you feed Molly and Fido found abandoned? For your gift of $11 per month, Molly will get kibbles and bits. It's like terrible, like a morbid thing. Really, seriously? Everybody say, occupy. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Faith occupies. Occupying, you take territory. We are the occupying force. So when the enemy wants to come, he can't. Why? It's occupied. You go try to use a restroom.
Come on.
What does it say? Occupied. Some people go in there and they're in there for like only God knows how long. You have to knock on the door and say, excuse me, do you have this place on a lease? Yeah, I know, it's occupied. The devil can't do what he wants to do in Tampa. Why? Because it's occupied. He can't do what he wants to do in America because it's occupied. Will I find faith? Faith acts. Faith doesn't sit and sleep. Faith acts. Faith is moving. Faith is doing. Faith is accomplishing. When the Lord spoke to me in 2008, because I was praying about America, the condition of the United States, I said, Lord, is it too late? Everything finished, wrapped up? He said, no. He said, you're right on time. We were speaking in Phoenix, Arizona. Out of my spirit, these words begin to come. Tell the church to speak to the sun. Tell the sun not to set just yet, for the sun is fast setting on the horizon of time. But just like Joshua, command the sun and the moon to stand still, and I gave him one more day of daylight. Can you imagine? You're fighting a battle, but the sun's setting, so you need more light. So you tell, sun, stand still, moon, stand still, and then God gives you another whole day. Never before in the history of the planet and never since. But the sun and the moon stood still in the valley of Ayalon. I'm telling you, do you understand what a mighty God we serve? And the Lord said, ask, tell the sun, don't set just yet. I'll give you one more hour of daylight because there's not a day left. So, I mean, that's what we have. We have an hour of daylight, which could be 40 years. So 40 years from 2008, that puts us at 2048. We've got some good time left. Yes. We can smack this thing up the side of the head. For some here, it could end tonight. It could end tomorrow. It could end this week. So you have to understand that even though I'm saying I feel, that we can smack this thing up the side of the head. For others here, they might not have this amount of time left because you don't know how long your life is. The Bible even says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible even says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we go to such a place. We'll live there. We'll be there here. We'll sell. We'll buy. We'll get gain. You know not what your life is. You should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and we shall do this and that. So, I'll give you one more hour of daylight. We believe that God has granted our request and given us a last-minute reprieve. But we have a window. We have a window of time, ladies and gentlemen. There's an urgency in my spirit. There's an urgency of the hour. Everyone must take their place. This cannot rest upon one or two or three. This must be the whole church, the whole body moving together like a hand in a glove, following his purpose and his plan. Luke 18, verse 8, the second part. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke 19, 13, occupied till I come. Is Jesus coming back for a week, defeated church, living in the mountains, eating lima beans? Storage food, which is not, you know, in Florida, you have to have stored food because of hurricanes. But I mean, how long is your food going to last, even if you had stored food, because you'll end up feeding all the neighbors? Are you with me? So you're going to have to believe God anyway, ultimately, when it's all said and done. Faith. Will he come back? Will he find faith, or is he going to find fear? Are you doing things in your life out of fear or out of faith? Is your life motivated by fear or by faith? Faith is believing in the integrity of the one who promised. Faith is trust in him. Come on. Down through the centuries, down through the years, God has always found individuals whom he called and appointed. Many say God's waiting on us, but he's actually waiting on you. As we talk, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, and then you. He's looking for people who will rise up in this generation. Who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. So what prayer does, prayer moves you. So I don't understand these people where we behind the scenes, our life is just behind the scenes, and we do much prayer and intercession. I'm sorry, because every time I go pray, then the Lord tells me what to go do. So I don't know how they pray and not connect the doing part of it. That's an excuse. That is an excuse. You cannot pray about something and then not get involved in it. Impossible. First of all, God's looking for people to pray. He said, I sought a man that would stand in the gap. So God's looking for somebody to pray. But what I'm just going to tell you, when you go to pray, he's going to say, okay, now get up from where you are. Go do this. I'm going to do this work. But I'm saying to you, me, Lord, me. You're the wrong person. Lord, you must have made a mistake. And then you start telling God all of the reasons why you feel God can't use you because of this, that, and the other thing, as though God doesn't know everything about you to begin with. So that when you tell the Lord, Lord, you can't use me because of this, that, and then the Lord goes like this, you know. Do you think God face palms himself? Huh? Do you think God goes like this and goes, what was I thinking? Sit down. I totally forgot. I must have had a senior moment. I forgot who you were. When the Bible says you didn't choose him, he chose you. When the Bible says not many high and mighty are chosen, God takes the weak things, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence, so that no one could say, look at me, I'm the great one, because without him we can do nothing. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and I'm not asking you to run around and call yourself a worm, as some people do when they walk around. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Throw the tag away, because yes, you were a sinner. Yes, you were saved by grace. But now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Identify yourself with righteousness, not with sin. Amen. That's great. this is awesome stuff. You know what I mean? Whew. So many people hide beyond prayer, but they have no activity. True prayer moves you, and then it moves God, because God moves with the man or woman that moves. You go, I'll go with you. You go every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given it unto you. You go, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be ashamed. Stir up the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands. Kindle that flame, that fire, that inner passion that was in your mother, that was in your grandmother. Stir it up. Go. Go in faith. Go in boldness. Preach my word. I'll confirm my word. I'll watch over my word to perform it. I'll back you up. You're not going alone. My angels will encamp about you. And I give you my name. You use my name, representing all that I am. This is strong stuff. Fuerte. This is 100% proof. This is not some light. This is 100% proof. You drink of this. Because the Bible says those that know their God will do exploits in his name. The church, in most cases, not even doing exploits. There's not even a exploit being done. Everybody's waiting for the approval. What do the deacon board say? Who gives a rip? Do not allow inactivity and the spiritual exercise of prayer to sit in the same room. We pray, we hear, we go, and we do. And when you show up coming out of a time of prayer, all heaven shows up. It's no different to Clark Kent in the first Superman movie. A bungling reporter stumbling over himself, but he goes into the phone booth and comes out Superman. You know what I mean? Like, oh, some of you haven't seen the first movie that came out. You watched all the later one. You know what? He's not even American. Superman's not even American right now. He renounced his American citizenship and became a global citizen. That's how whacked out that thing. Superman was always America. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things because of an extraordinary God. So it's not like a great man, a great woman. It's an ordinary man, an ordinary woman with a great God. The mighty God. As your pastor, I'm expecting from this prayer meeting for there to be such an acceleration in your spiritual life and everything that you do, that even in the remaining months of this year, everything would multiply and be expedited in what other would not see in 3 years, you'll see in 3 months. So let me prophesy over you. I prophesy over you that this will be the greatest Thanksgiving and Christmas that you've ever had. Regardless of what's happening in the world. Regardless of what the news media pumping out 24/7. This comes from heaven. This is a fresh word that comes from heaven for you today. These are the headlines from heaven. This word is eternal. This word will never pass away. So regardless of what's happening in the world, the Lord is your source. He's your supply. He's the way maker. He goes before you and make the crooked path straight. God's eyes and ears are open to the righteous. Understand that right now, that he listens for you. He's listening for you. The word declares the eyes of the Lord over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. He's waiting on you. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know is not. 1 Kings 8:56. They'll not fail one word of all his good promises. Yes. When we pray, watch this. Demonic forces are held at bay and angels are loosed to move on our behalf. So when we pray, suddenly, it's like one of those movies where everything freezes in place. Are you with me? Which I can't even think. I just saw on a movie that everything freezes. So imagine, as you pray, all the demonic hosts are like frozen. Can't do a thing. And all the angels are loosed. When you don't pray, the demonic forces are loosed and the angels can't stand. So when you pray, mountains get moved out of the way. Mountains. I'm sitting in a room full of mountain movers here. I'm sitting in a room full of mountain movers. Hallelujah. There are more that are with us than are with them. So get ready for God to move here in this weeks of the month of September. Amen. Father, let if anything's being planned for September the 11th, let it come to nothing. Amen. Even now, as a church, we set ourselves in agreement. Unravel every plan of wickedness that could be tried to be brought about on the anniversary of September the 11th. Rip the guts out of it. Totally thwart every plan of the wicked, even now, in Jesus' name. We assign holy angels of heaven right to the source to shut it down even now in the name of Jesus. So what have we been praying over the last decade, really from 08 to now, is that every plan of the enemy would be set back, would come unraveled, that total confusion would be wreaked in the camp of the wicked, that God would pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots, and the enemy would turn on themselves like a dog on its own tail, which you can see just happening. Hollywood is unraveling. It's losing its influence. Nobody even goes to the movies. Anybody been to a movie? You go in, there's nobody there. There's no one there. The sporting world is unraveling in many instances, losing its influence. Mainstream media is unraveled. Now that's why they're trying to block everybody and delete them off. But let me tell you, you can delete everybody off of Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever. You ain't going to stop people. Because remember, there's still word of mouth. You're going to have to cut their tongues out. Remember, some of the biggest movements in the world over the centuries have happened by word of mouth. People still talk. You can't stop people from talking. There's more people now to spread the word than ever before. So you can shut everybody down. They can censor everybody. Shut them down on Facebook and Twitter and put out the false narratives all they want to. But people are not stupid. I found that out in all of our travels. People are aware. They know what's going on. People don't believe the mainstream media lies. So I think the enemy has underestimated, first of all, America, number one, has underestimated the church, number two, and doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, number three. Plus, you heard me talk about this new platform that is coming. It just got launches in beta testing right now, which I'll tell you about next week. You can go and sign up for it, which is totally, you can download the app. You'll be able to download it on your phone outside of Google and Apple. You don't have to go through them, just through the web. And it's a social media platform with movies and music and interaction and talking to people, and it's not censored. So it's a brand new platform that is coming. And all your own content, what belongs to you still. And you can earn money when you use it. Which that's better than a poker now with a blunt stick on a cold day. Are you with me? So I'll let you know about that. It's not me, I have nothing to do with it. They came to me with it. I've been introducing people to it. And there's gonna be a lot of people on this platform that will not be hindered. It'll give us the time that we need to still get the word out and do what we need to do. Otherwise, we'll still continue to use the dinosaurs. But there's no doubt in my mind that Facebook will ultimately become MySpace. They say that, I'm not sure how many people have deleted the Facebook app from your phone, which, by the way, when you have that Facebook app on your phone, it actually monitors everything that you do. Everything. Even when your phone's off, it monitors you. And they say 44% of the people that have deleted the Facebook app from their phone are millennials. So the millennials are saying, we're not interested. And so God will give us a way proclaiming and getting the word out and getting information out, even though they want to burn the books and control the narrative. It's too late. Too many people are awake. Too many people are awake. And we're going to see a great awakening that's going to hit our nation in an unprecedented way. It's going to hit the inner cities. The glory of God's going to sweep through the inner cities and hit our African-American community. People are going to be set free and delivered. And it's going to hit our Hispanic communities. It's going to hit. It's like a fire that's going to spread. Amen. And we've been praying that the gods of America would fall and we would see another great spiritual awakening. So this is why we're here. And many of you, as I close, many of you, as you've been around this ministry for any length of time, you know for a fact that the message doesn't change. You know, we pretty much stay on the message. And if this was just a message that I got from watching Christian television, I would be on to the next message that I got from watching Christian television. But I'm so happy to report to you, I do not get my Sunday sermons from watching Christian TV. These messages are birthed in the fire of God. That's why we're still on track after all these years. The message doesn't change. Are you with me? God doesn't suddenly change his mind, you know. I was doing that there, but now I'm changing my mind. God's word is set. It's set in place. And so when I share these things, even though some of you have heard these things, it reinforces in you what God is doing, because for some of you, you're in a better place to receive these words now than you were a year, two, three, four, 5 years ago, because God's already expanded you and doing a greater work in you. Amen. We'll understand why what I'm sharing was important. That's why over the years when people have come through here said, you know, we're going to leave the church because they're all about souls. Like, really? Seriously? Knock yourself out. Next. I can't be bothered with that nonsense. You know, we're going to leave the church because we're really into more of the prophetic. I don't know more prophetic than what's happening around this point. But that's fine. If you're into more prophetic than that, knock thyself out, yea, verily. Because 100 years from today, you'll see what was important. And then you say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you that you kept it. You turned the heat up. You didn't buckle under pressure. You didn't turn it down. You didn't try to make it acceptable. Even when the politicians come, we didn't try to make it acceptable to them. I believe it was the first great awakening that they preached for 25 years before it broke. Abram and Sarah waited 25 years for Isaac. People of faith, they don't care what day of the week it is. They don't care what month it is. And they don't care what year it is. You want to know why? Because God is always in the now. He's always in the now. He's in the now. Everybody's way back when. I remember way back when. I remember. What a night. Way December back in 63 or whatever. Whatever that song is. I remember how it was. Huh? Thank God for what was. I remember what he's doing now. What he's doing. This is it. This is your moment. This is your. Don't be focused on yesteryear. Only use it as an inspiration that the greater, what he's about to do, is greater than anything you've ever seen. Do you understand? Do you understand this? Do you understand what he's about to do is greater than anything you can ever? The prophets of old would have given any time, anything to live in your hour. Anything. They would have swapped places. Elijah wished he was here. And there was, these are the days of Elijah. Elijah's up in heaven saying, these are the days of Richard and Rhonda. Do you realize? And don't sit and nod your head like a bobblehead, but grab a hold of this with your spirit and say, this is my moment, this is my hour. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Yes, Lord, you'll find faith. Somebody said, my name's not Faith, my name's Rodney. That's fine. Big things. Amen? Big things. I want everybody to bow your heads if you would, please. Oh, Rabakaste Freveyondobo. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this place, and for those watching by way of television, if you're in this house today, you're watching at home, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity right now to accept him, to say, Lord, come and save me. I want you to know that he loves you and he stands with arms wide open. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls you today. And that today all you have to do is humble yourself. As you come to him, you can't earn what I'm sharing with you. You can't buy it. It's free. But you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? If you went home, put your head on your pillow, and in the night hours you breathed out your final breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? Come on. Don't let this moment pass you by. Surrender your life to him today and say, Lord, I give you my all, and make him Lord. Today you can choose to continue walking, carrying the burden of sin, of guilt and shame, anxiety and worry and woe. Or today you can come and lay it at the foot of the cross. And today the blood of Jesus can wash you clean. And you can leave this place transformed, changed forever. He loves you. It's about surrender today. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost that first love. You lost that passion, that joy. You want that fervor back. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. No one even knows about the very source of the problem. Something that's hidden in the heart, a hidden thing. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust. The hidden things that come and clog the heart of man. Today he will come and remove those things from your life. And those things shall plague you no more. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see and people even talk about it. And the devil uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened and transpired in your life. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to give you another chance. God's a God of a second chance today. And he says, come, surrender afresh to him. And he will come and transform you. Maybe it's not hidden outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along serving the Lord, and then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a hurricane from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Will you surrender fresh to him? Would you say, Jesus, come? He will come. He loves you. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you want to make sure. You want to know that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you want to know today. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you right where you are. Quickly. Put your hand up right now. Say, pray for me. God bless you. 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 God bless you over here. God bless you. Raise up high. God bless you. 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 Quickly, put it up high. Don't wait for anybody else. All across this room, slip it up high and say yes. Under the overhang, all in that section over there, another. Hands are going up. Today's your day of freedom and liberty. Once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, if you would please. Everyone, I'm over here. In this section here, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray. Quickly, put your hands up and say, include me. God bless you. Anybody else? Another hand? Anyone else? What about the overhang? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Another hand? Anyone else? Slip it up high. Another hand there. What about this section? Put it up high. And say, yes, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Put up high. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Another hand. Yes. I'm going to ask all those that raise your hand, if you would stand to your feet right now, please. All across the building, stand. Stand to your feet. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. stand up on your feet right now. Everyone that raised your hands, we're going to pray with you and for you. I want you to come from where you are and come fill up the altar. Come. Many hands over there. Come. Come. Come now. Come now. Come now. Behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You could take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You could take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You could take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want everyone standing here to look at me right now. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. I know how important this is right here. I travel 60 countries. I've been many churches since January the 1st, 1980. It's four decades now. And I go to churches where this is like a trivial thing. But to me, this is like the main thing right here. Because God meets each person individually. And if you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. So we're going to pray one prayer fits all. I want you to close your eyes and just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead for me. Take full control of my life. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank Him right now. Father, I pray that You would seal them now by Your blood and by Your Spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. I break every curse off of them. We send it back to its place of origin. From this very day, everything turns, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.